Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of TCR, aka The Center Ring, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 64, coming to you live, pre-recorded from the home studio again. We tweaked a few audio knobs. Maybe it sounds better, maybe it sounds worse, I don't know. Let us know on Twitter, at The Center Ring. This is going to be one of the best episodes we've ever done. Not only do we have exciting news to get to here, just as soon as we are done intro the show. So let's get on to that. The date? What's the date? June 28th, 2017. The time? Just before 8 p.m. Central Daylight Saving Time. Is it Daylight Saving Time?
I don't know, bro.
Does anyone know?
It's like getting too deep right now.
Yeah.
The voices you just heard, to the man sitting actually with me in the room, that is Anuj. What is up, man?
Hey, bud. How are you?
Pretty good. And to the man not in the room with us, Brett. Do you hear us loud and clear, Brett?
Yes, I do. The outside world is scary, Tim. So scary. Had to stay home.
So as we said, we're getting the in-home studio all set up. And doing so, it's basically to minimize driving, because it sucks when you have to drive and we don't get home till like Anuj and I, we live almost like an hour away from the studio if the traffic's there, so it sucks. So we want to get home. Brett's at home. We got it hooked up. I have more monitors and laptops near me than probably a doctor would recommend, but we got it working.
Basically NASA right now.
I really feel like I'm at a control station, so hopefully it sounds good. Again, if it doesn't, let us know. It's only you, the listener, that we hear these things from.
We got a lot of positive feedback after the last episode.
Did we?
Yeah, my wife said it sounded good.
All right, well, that's 100% feedback, I guess.
One for one.
Yeah, that's true. When our wives are our only feedback because no one answers us on Twitter, I guess it counts for something.
My wife is brutally honest, Tim.
Is she?
She is.
Maybe she's actually like not being as honest with you. Have you ever thought of that?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe she's actually ruthless and this is just...
I'm glass half empty. I should be glass half full.
There you go. So I did tease that we have exciting news on Twitter and in the show open there. So I want to get to that in a second, but of course we have e-news to end the show. We have a lot of exciting things to touch on there. We will talk about the NBC Rocket League deal that was recently announced, and we will also discuss a little bit of ECS Season 3 and how that finished up in the CSGO world. But first, to this exciting news.
Drumroll?
No drumroll.
We're not that fancy yet.
No, I have the soundboard here. I don't have all my sound. A responsible show host would do prep work prior to the show, but
you use the word responsible here.
You know, we got nothing.
Brett, give us a drum roll
for that.
Okay.
So that was an excellent drum roll. Thank you, Brett. Exciting news. TCR is doing their second ever live show on FM radio. Thank you. We did it last year, actually, to the day. It was actually 1 year today. Me and Brandon did our first ever actual radio show for esports. It's on I daylight as a producer at Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket, here in DFW. And so once in a while, if a major comes up and there's nothing else on the air, they will be so kind to spare a couple hours for us to talk about esports. So that's what we're doing July 13th. You can listen to it on the website, theticket.com. And of course, we'll record it and everything and put it on online so you can always hear the podcast version of it. But it will be live on air, so I would definitely appreciate it if everyone could go there. And we'll obviously talk about it next show, because I think we have one show in between now and then next week, right?
Yeah, we got one
and
more.
And then that's a Thursday, so we'll do that. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, and we'll tweet all the details out there. But, yes, that's very cool. I would like to think it's definitely the first time esports show is on the ticket and in DFW. I know you have Checkpoint Radio, but...
That doesn't count. No, but, we feel like it's a big deal. We hope you guys do, too. It's on. It's the largest sports broadcasting station in DFW.
It's easily number one station in DFW by rating-wise, and...
First esports podcast, or like podcast,
like top
going.
Five in the nation. Dallas is a top five market, and we're the number one in that market. So
yeah,
take it for what you will. But it's pretty awesome that we get to do that. So July 13th again, you can stream it. You can actually kick it old school and listen to it on the radio. As someone who works in the radio, I suggest that. But hey, that's just me. So let's get on to the show though, because we'll talk about that as it comes closer to. Let's dive into ECS Season 3 that just recently wrapped up. Basically, back-to-back seasons. You have ESL wrapped up a week or so ago, and now you have ECS that just finished. Very two different stories when it comes to the league. I know when ESL, everyone always complained the fact that the best teams weren't there, right? Similar formats with ECS, but just looking at it, the talent pool that they had for ECS was widely different.
It's what we wanted, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They were missing a couple of teams in the top 10. You know, Na'Vi wasn't there. I know VP is still in the top 10. Obviously, they weren't there. But we had the top three teams, or top four teams, I would think, in the world in this tournament. So it was very, very exciting to watch. And it lived up to the hype.
I think that... like you said, this is kind of what everyone wanted with ESL. Just looking at the teams that showed up in from last to first. How about that? I'll list it like that. You had Fnatic, which got last place. Let's start with this.
They tied for last.
Well, yeah, however you want to view it. Yeah, them and Optic did very poorly.
Yeah.
Brett, I know you watched a lot of the Fnatic games and everything early in the morning, mm-hmm. and you talked about that.
Yeah.
Would you say... Was it Team Liquid that beat up Fnatic, or was it just Fnatic that played a poor tournament?
It's Fnatic just played a poor tournament. I mean, Liquid played well, but it's Fnatic's to lose. I mean, here's the deal. They can't get by on just, like, skill alone. I mean, if you look at them, just raw aiming and raw talent, like, they're one of the best teams in the world. But, I mean, teams are so technical now. Like, you got Astralis and SK that just, like, have next-level strats, and that just doesn't get you by anymore like it did when they were winning majors, right? Like, they're going to have to come up with something different than just, like, raw aiming and pug-style play, right? That's how I felt, you know, just watching ECS. They're just not there.
Yeah, I said that before about Fnatic. It's been their biggest problem. When they were at the top of their game, when they had four players... basically playing the best in that position at that time, and they were able to win by pure aim alone. Pretty much they could out aim you. They were okay taking those duels. They were very aggressive. Well, now they're not all at the top of their game. Olaf's not the best player in the world. JW is not the best opper in the world. They are starting to see that come back and bite them, because they've never picked up a real strategic coach that's put them in positions to win. JW still plays that very aggressive style, and that's what hurts them. It's just they don't have the team orientation that you would see from an SK, a FaZe, Astralis. These guys are handled by real leaders, Fallen, Kerrigan, you know, and Glaive.
Do either one of you see them being part of the Swedish shuffle, the rumored Swedish shuffle that is approaching?
They're still top 10. Go ahead, Brett.
I said this months ago. This wasn't going to last. It's just CS has changed. It really has, like, just strategy-wise. And I don't really feel like that team can mesh strategically. So, yeah, I for one think that this team's ready to just blow up anytime now. I was calling that months ago.
Yeah, there's a chance that they make a player or two change. I don't really see more than even one player, honestly, but
there's, who do you see that one player as?
I see possibly Crims. That's, you know, Crims is, I feel like...
Now, but even before the original shuffle that they did, Crims was the weaker one.
If you had to pick one, you could do Crims or you could even do JW. Dennis is still a very good player. Olaf is still playing, you know, fairly well. Flushes still got incredible aim, man. The guy has, like, not let up. He has just been a good player. Even when he was on Godsent and they were playing poorly, he was still playing well, I felt. But maybe, you know, you could think of somebody like a Twist or somebody coming in for JW or Lekro or someone for Crims. But the Swedish Shuffle is not going to really happen now that NiP has already made their changes. You're not going to see anything major. Pronax is not going anywhere. He's not going to go back on to Fnatic and lead them to any more tournaments. So maybe a player, if we want to call that a shuffle.
I think if there was any type of quote-unquote shuffle, right, or roster moves, I kind of lean towards you, Anuj, where you said that Fnatic might be that the team that's not involved with it, only because it is still kind of fresh from when they reformed. It's almost like Fnatic has almost come to the realm of like VP, where that they are Fnatic, right? You look at that roster and that is their team. They like to play with each other. You know, they butted heads at first, rekindled that fire, and now they're back together. I almost feel like Fnatic at this point, even though I agree with you, Brett, where originally when they came back together, I was like, this isn't going to work out. But just because it doesn't work out doesn't mean that they're going to do a roster change. I almost feel at this point they're like, we'd rather play with each other than...
Well, they still have their legend status, right? So they're all going to be going into the major together. I don't see any changes happening before the major. And again, with them, it's still one of those things where if they advance out of groups, you wouldn't be shocked. But if they come in second to last, you're also not going to be shocked. You know, I feel like it's just if they're all on their game, they have the ability to still outduel you. If they're not, this is what's going to happen. They're going to come in seventh or eighth place.
Yeah, but you know, if they keep putting up tournaments like this, you know, like a minus 24 round differential, that's going to get old soon, right? Like eventually, that's going to create, you know, some toxicity between, you know, the players. They're all, you know, their egos. If they keep putting up eggs like this.
Yeah, only if this becomes a consistent.
And like I said, I think that's a lot with the mindset of old Fnatic. Yeah. I don't think the players are in the same mindset as when they were number one in the world. I think they've kind of come back down to earth and realized that
we're not number one.
This is kind of this might be how it is, regardless of roster changes. Speaking of things just the way it is, and I really don't even want to waste too much time on them. I don't think there's much to talk about. I just don't think they're that good of a team, and that's Optic Gaming that tied for last place. There was a slight part in time where they were kind of NA's hope.
Number two in the world.
you lose your in-game leader, and this shows exactly what happens here. Unfortunately for them, they just haven't had a consistent fifth, so it's hard to have higher expectations for them than, you know, where they finished in this tournament. Look at the teams that were in this tournament. So it's not surprising that they went 0-2. They got to find some consistency. They have to have a true leader on that team. Without Stannis, it's been hard for them. So, I mean,
not only did they go 0-2, they only won 20 rounds.
Again, I mean, Jason R leaves right before the tournament starts to continue his streaming career. It really put them in a tough spot. Hayes doesn't, you know, he's not a tier one player anymore. He just happened to be the coach at that time. And, you know, what else do you do? You have to have somebody that knows your strategy. And, you know, it's just unfortunate timing for them.
Yeah. And their confidence is just shot. Like, I follow Rush and Tarek on Twitter. And Rush was tweeting, you know, please send help. And, you know, Tarek was just like, well, I hope this tournament's going to be better than the last one. Their confidence is just nowhere to be found, and that doesn't really bode well.
I think another team here, just moving up the list, where, you know, Brett, you mentioned confidence being shot. Team Liquid's confidence, I don't really know where that's at right now. They had, surprisingly, they didn't get out of their group, okay? To be fair, they were in a group with Fnatic, Astralis and Cloud9.
The easier of the two groups.
Easier, but also more of a wild card.
Because
of Cloud9 and Fnatic and Team Liquid, you kind of put all three of them being equally just as much of a chance
but
to make
out.
Three
out of the top four in the world in Group A. In Group B, really, you know, you have the number one or number two team, I guess, ranked right now. And then a couple other teams trickled in there that are in the top 10, but, you know, nowhere near that level of competition. You got G2, FaZe, and SK. Liquid, I feel like, played so well. You know,
they did.
They lost.
I mean, they only went 1-2, but
the games were close. They were competitive. Twist is really showing that he has, like, star potential on that team. Alige has been, you know, NA's most consistent player since, as far as I can remember. And like I said, I think they're still young enough to where they're gelling. JDM is the key to this team. If he can be an aggressive open up entries for them, make mm-hmm. clutch plays like he's been making, they have a good chance. If JDM is off his game, they're going to be in trouble. But I think their confidence should if I were them, I'd be feeling pretty good. I think Zeus has done an amazing job.
Go ahead.
They definitely have the core to be, and more to your point, yeah, Twist and Alige, they were just like out of their minds. And we saw this in the ECL event in Dallas with JDM. Like, you, more to your point, Anuj, like when he's aggressive and not letting, you know, like on CT side, when he's not letting the game come to him and he's going to the game, like he's one of the best oppers in the world as far as like, you know, aggression and hitting his shots. So, yeah, I mean, they have a good core. I think they could add one piece to become, you know, because they're right there. I think, you know, you add one more piece and they're the best team in NA. No doubt. I think they're better in Cloud9 if they can add one more piece.
Well,
I think they're right there with Cloud9 even right now. If they were to play, I wouldn't tell you that Cloud9's sweeping them 2-0. I think there's a chance that Liquid walks out of there.
See, at their best, I think Cloud9's better.
But that's saying a lot, right?
Cloud9 is better.
At their best is the big thing here. Is Cloud9's not at their best 90% of the time.
Exactly.
Right? So if Cloud9 has a good showing like they did in the group stages here, yeah, you know, they'll take you and you know, you have the automatic Stewie combo who's fantastic. Again, kind of like Liquid, really, in the same sense. If Ska is on, they have a really good chance of playing
well.
Here's
the thing. With Cloud9, it's not just if Ska's on. It's if any of them, right? Look at the matches where Ska wasn't necessarily carrying the team. You had players like Stewie all of a sudden get the quad kills or automatic being clutch. Anybody on Cloud9 just has to be consistent. The issue is, and some people look at it as a positive, that at any given round, any one of them can be clutch and win the round for you. The downside to that is the inconsistency of why do you have to have a clutch play every time?
Again, their problem is almost the exact opposite of Team Liquid's. Team Liquid has Zeus, like we just mentioned before, right? So they have a leader in place for them. Cloud9 completely lacks that. Cloud9 is very disorganized on CT side. I think on Mirage, they won like 70% of T rounds. And on CT, they're winning, I think it was under even double digits. I mean, they barely could pull off CT sides. And a lot of that comes down to if you don't have somebody who's coming up with different ways to play, you kind of just do a set default every single time. And you're going to get burned on those types of maps.
And you're right, Anuj. Like, I was looking at the match against FaZe. They had 4 round wins on CT side.
So yeah, it's just hard for them. CT is just a struggle.
That's not a recipe for success, you know, especially when CT is generally, you know, most maps are CT-sided, right?
Well, we'll get to the Cloud9 and FaZe match here in a second because that's a collapse, but you can analyze a choke however you want, whether it's the, you know, typically in Counter-Strike, the best team's going to win, but at the same time, is that a good example of it, or is that just Cloud9 completely choking, or is it both?
That was Kerrigan putting his players in position to whoop Cloud9's butt. I mean, Cloud9 didn't even look like they were in the same league as FaZe. You know, they beat Fnatic, struggling. Liquid.
Brett, do you have the numbers in front of you? It was like 15-6, I think, was the at one point the biggest lead Cloud9 had. At that point, I feel like whoever is in game leading at that point in time with Cloud9 is throw out the playbook and you have to go unconventional. Once they hit about 11 wins and it was 15-11, that's where Cloud9 should have been like, we can't, let's wait till we get to a bye round and just throw out the playbook. We have to try something unconventional. Yeah, and they just weren't doing that. And it got into their heads.
No, I agree. They weren't, FaZe is just a beast right now. They look so good.
Yeah, I mean, not to take anything away from, it's FaZe.
Yeah, right? I mean, they're playing, again, top 2 team in the world right now. Again, Cloud9 looked good in group play. They put themselves in a position to at least have a chance to make the finals. Nothing to be ashamed of, I don't think, but you do want that game, if you're going to go out, to be closer. You don't want to go out in that fashion. But again, they have something to look forward to going into the major qualifier here and ESL 1. Just gotta keep pushing for them. They need some type of leadership. I just don't know where they'll get it from.
The rumor's been flying around now for almost like a month with Shroud retiring.
Yep.
I don't know how much that is even like a legit rumor. I know they respond to it when asked about it, but what do you want them to do, right? That's one of those things where if you ask, if they don't say anything, they're just saying as much as if they answered the question. I know, not in interviews, but behind the scene at ESL, you know, you overheard them talking about it when they were in the press area, where Shroud came in from an interview laughing, and he was like, oh, I guess I'm retiring now.
Yeah.
And they were all laughing, saying, oh, well, how does it feel? You know, what are you going to do? And he almost seemed, you know, to think it was just as silly of a concept to think about retiring, and it's just kind of a rumor that now they're all embracing.
It could be the ultimate setup. Like, maybe he knows he's getting released, and he's just planting that seed now.
It could be, but at the same time,
he might not know he's getting released.
Every different tournament, you can pretty much swap the blame between him or nothing.
Yeah.
As far as which one is it.
But
time
who would you rather
go?
Have?
Me, personally? I think I would take Shroud.
Really? Okay.
Not so much because I think that he is skill-wise better, but I think eventually, if you want to call in the locker room, you have to have a different voice. And I think nothing, even though he might not be IGL or anything right now,
he's the senior of the group.
He's the senior of the group, and his voice is respected, and that's fine. But after a while, you just have to mix it up.
They should really find a way to steal Twist and Liege from Liquid somehow.
Yeah, just
and
figure
put
that out.
I mean, can you imagine having those four riflers together? And, you know, I don't care who's opping on that team, but those are that would be the ultimate NA lineup, in my opinion.
It's a young lineup too.
Yeah,
that would also be a difference. Is where I feel with Cloud9, you definitely see the line where you have old school and new school. And you hear it in some of Stewie's interviews where it almost sounds like he's getting tired of old school, not being as into it as he wants to be.
Video blogs that he's been posting and stuff, you can see that he's like not happy with the way things are right now. I mean, he wants, I say change. Change doesn't necessarily have to be a player, but he wants something different to happen here, because I think they see the writing on the wall a little bit. And with disappointments, what did you think of G2? I mean, I felt like they had to be coming out feeling
pretty demoralized.
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of skipped over them to talk about Cloud9. Cloud9 got fourth place, or tied for third and fourth. G2 got fifth and sixth with Liquid. They didn't even make it out of their group. It's a bit surprising, but at the same time, kind of not, right? It's almost like how you said with Fnatic. G2 is either going to be number one in the world or out of the top five.
Their group, somebody had to come in third. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're only going to have two come out of there between SK, FaZe, and G2. They show they have a little bit of work to do.
Maybe some ESL hangover.
Well, they won ESL, but they didn't play against FaZe, and they didn't, you know, have Astralis, and then obviously they didn't play Astralis in this matchup. But it shows that they are, I feel like they are fourth right now as far as the rankings go when you look at the top four. But, I mean, they're not that far away, but they have a little bit, I feel like, to go to get on the next level.
Agreed. Astralis, they got third, fourth, however you want to look at it.
What a series, man. That SK Astralis series, that was incredible to watch. That was one of the semifinals for SK and Astralis, and the finals for SK FaZe were two of the better series I've had an opportunity to watch in CS. It was some amazing CS to see those guys go head to head. I'm glad they all went three maps. I mean, it was awesome.
You have two of the best in-game leaders in the world, and then you also have three of the best oppers, you know, in the world in that one match. It, pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, and Astralis, you know, took a lead. Were up quite heavy at one point, I believe, on the third map, and SK pulled it back and came out to beat them. But it was a fun series to watch. Those two teams are, you know, primed and are ready to go into the major. I think Astralis had a little bit of a lull because of the gap they've taken from LAN. I think that's hurt them a little bit to not be in a position where they are fighting against some of these best teams. They obviously weren't at ESL. I believe they skipped out on another one, and now they're not going to be at ESL 1.
They had the Clash for Cash, if you want to count that.
So they got to play a top 50 team, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, they got some money from it.
No, they got their money, yeah. But I don't think the competition is, you know, was anything to really brag about in that matchup.
And that is right. I completely forgot that they
just, it feels like they've been gone for a little while.
They tapped out of ESL 1 Cologne for the major.
I think that actually hurts them now, obviously, with that Intel series that's now going on, to not be able to get that point. But they are, I feel like they just were coming off a little bit of a break, and this was a nice little warm-up for them to get back into it, and, you know, the games were fun.
I feel like SK ended up taking it all. They beat FaZe in the finals. I feel like SK is pretty much back to form. I mean, when it comes to being number one and probably a favorite to pick in any tournament.
When Fur is the best player on the team in this tournament, and you have somebody named Colzera and Fallen on your team, you're going to be pretty dang hard to stop. If Fur continues to play like that, and Phelps has just fit in so well onto that team, it's really incredible. These guys are such heavy execution. They know what they're doing. I mean, they all know their spots so well and play them so well. It's just really it's really fun to watch.
It's back to the day to where no matter who's left alive, like, if they're against Cloud9, I am not confident that Cloud9 is going to take that round, no matter who is left alive.
No, I know. And again, speaking of amazing series, that series, again, FaZe had an opportunity to win all three games. They could have swept that. I mean, the last two went to overtime. FaZe had to make an incredible comeback in that third map to push it into overtime. I mean, again, that series, if you want to see high-level CS, you need to go back and watch those three games, because that was really an amazing performance by both teams. There were so many clutches. I felt bad for Keo. Keo was like the last man alive, it felt like, on six or seven different rounds in the last two maps there, and didn't have an opportunity to clutch him. But we're talking...
And then Clave with the... wasn't it Glaive with the...
That was in the previous game where he had
premature...
The bomb plant. Yeah.
It happens
to
the best of us.
It does. It happens to us, at least. I don't know if the best of us, but it happens to us. But really some fun CS to watch, and, you know, a couple of cool things from this tournament. Cash was only played one time.
Thank God.
You know, you didn't see Nuke played at all. You didn't see Cobble played at all.
Thank God.
You know, these were all vetoed, consistently vetoed or just not picked maps. Train and Inferno Overpass all played six times, and Cash only once. So really four maps were played in this whole tournament, which I thought was just a really weird and neat stat at the same time.
I think it's turned to where, like, everybody, like, is used to Cobble now. You know, like, everybody's used to Cobble. Everyone has a Cobble strat, and it's almost to where, even though you might have one, you don't trust it against their team.
It's the same against, like, everybody. Yeah, you know, they all do the same exact
execute. It's almost turned into Dust 2, while Dust 2 is gone. Yeah. Everybody has...
If they're going A, they're going to do the same type of execute, and it's just you know, you see the same type of game every time. We've had some of our best matches on that map, I feel like.
Well, I think it's because, like Dust 2, if you're playing Cobble, it's going to come down to your shots.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to win on those very popular played maps, is who is going to have the better shots. Like on B site in Cobble, that is all your shot. It's such a wide open site.
you have to have a lot of faith in somebody to cover it if you're going to try and play it the way most teams are. We're noticing the maps that have good balance be the ones that continue to be played. So that's neat to see. Mirage was the only one that was truly lopsided. It was, I think I have it here in front of me, 65-35, which is a pretty crazy ratio from
65 T, 35 CT.
Everything else was fairly balanced. Cash is kind of hard to put a real judge on it because there's only one map that at one time it was played. But yeah, I mean, just neat to see Inferno really making its way in there in Train also being picked as much as it was.
We kind of are hitting that swing in the Counter-Strike world of esports where there's a lot of tournaments coming up. We'll briefly touch on the PGL Major offline qualifier and e-news. I didn't want to spend a whole topic on it knowing that we were going to talk about ECS. I just, you know, too much Counter-Strike can be too much.
Our on-air show is actually going to be a full preview.
Yeah, our on-air on July 13th on the ticket is going to be a full-on PGL preview, so we'll kind of save most of that talk for the on-air show, but we will discuss the qualifiers a bit in the e-news segment of the show. I do want to talk about, though, and you know, at first I had this in e-news, and then I was like, I feel like it warrants a full-on discussion with you gentlemen, and that's NBC now is getting into esports with breaking into Rocket League of all games. NBC announced that they will be hosting a live on-air on NBC Sports Network Rocket League tournament.
I think it's neat. You know, I have no problems with it. Rocket League is one of those games that, like y'all have both said 100 times to me, one of the most infuriating games to play. But as a spectator watching like high-level Rocket League, still sounds a little weird to me when I say it, but high-level Rocket League, those guys are incredible. I mean, they're flying through the air like they're on the Jetsons, you know? I enjoy playing it personally, but, you know, at that level, it's just a whole different game, and you know, it's just cool.
I can't wait to watch it. You know, I really enjoyed the 3v3 that was on Twitch not too long ago, the big tournament.
For the season 3.
Yeah, but this is 2v2. Why?
Yeah,
I don't get why they're doing 2v2 instead of 3v3.
That was going to be one of the things.
I feel like with 2v2, there's not as much, like, aggression you can do. Because you know you have to worry about being back, you know, on defense, so you don't get like those dynamic crosses and shots that you get in 3v3 because you have to worry about playing defense.
Yeah, you have less opportunity for highlight plays, you know, on a 2v2 because, like Brett said,
it just takes one person to screw up and no one's there to back you up.
Yeah,
I don't, and it's not just us saying this. A lot of people. They got really excited and then kind of had beef with the fact that it's 2v2, mainly because we just finished season 3 and it was a 3v3 tournament. Yeah. That's how the pro scene is set up for a 3v3. So, which clearly season 3 had something to do with NBC wanting to pick it up. I would assume it had over 200,000 concurrent viewers at one point in time on Twitch. You know, it was top of Twitch. It had the most ever for a Rocket League broadcast. Envious now has a team in Rocket League. That probably spawned directly from the hype and NBC picking it up. And then they make it a 2v2 tournament, which makes no sense. It's got a $100,000 prize pool. That's pretty nice. Yep. But it's just weird that, yes, you're going to showcase your game on the biggest stage it ever has been on. The biggest stage where any e-sport has been on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have Counter-Strike on TNT, but other than that...
TBS,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
NBC beats out TBS.
Oh, for sure.
That's
100%.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
and NBC Sports, not only... So this is the way that's going to go here. The regional qualifiers will begin July 22nd, so in about a month, while the regional finals will be held on August 5th through the 6th and August 12th through the 13th. Then the grand finals, which will be on NBC Sports Network, will be August 26th and 27th. It's NBC Sports Networks in the United States, Sci-Fi in the UK, Germany, Australia, and Latin America countries. It will also stream online, and NBC says it will produce more than 40 total hours of content.
You don't think TBS is bigger than NBC Sports?
No.
It was like NBC.
I'm saying maybe. NBC, though.
NBC as a whole, but it's not, it's being televised on NBC Sports. And then sci-fi is definitely like...
I mean, you got to think NBC Sports at NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs, NFL.
Premier League.
No, NFL.
Premier League.
What NFL is on NBC Sports?
Isn't that where they do Thursday night now?
Oh.
Thursday night
okay,
football?
But like as a one-off. Yeah.
Right. But nonetheless,
still big.
I mean, it's still big.
Do you wish they had chosen a different game? Big. If you could have had them like pick another esport, do you think there's something that would appeal better?
Oddly enough, so I'm a big proponent to where esports should be on TV. I know you have those naysayers saying, no, TV's dying. Whatever.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there to get into that argument. I like that Rocket League is the game they chose for multiple reasons. One, it's very easy to watch.
Yeah.
As we said before, right. I love watching professional Rocket League. I despise the game. I don't even have it installed on my computer anymore. I rage uninstalled it after one time, and never again will I ever play Rocket League, probably, because it's infuriating. I do not like playing the game.
I don't play it a lot, but I enjoy it. I mean, from time to time, I'll dabble on it, but that's really about it.
Yeah, personal preferences aside, like I would much rather see Counter-Strike or Overwatch on TV because those are the games I play. But the skill ceiling, I feel like, in Rocket League is higher. Maybe I'm wrong, but just me looking at those three games, the things that those Rocket League guys do are insane, dude. I cannot hit an aerial shot. Like, I think it's the hardest thing in the world. Like, I can't do it. And, you know, the crosses while you're in the air, they know exactly. I mean, to me, it looks like mass chaos, but they mean to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible to watch.
The thing with Rocket League is it's easy to watch. You know,
well, that's
viewer,
what I'm saying.
It's
like,
soccer, essentially.
I could call up one of my buddies who doesn't watch esports at all, tell him to turn on NBC Sports, and they would know exactly what's the objective of this. Oh, it's...
What are the teams?
You put the ball in
the
net.
What is the objective? Yeah, like, very easy to watch. And on top of that, they kind of have, like, you know, not really related to the game, but, like, the colors are also bright and vibrant and really pops for, like,
it's
television.
It's easy to...
Very easy to watch
and
follow.
It's going
to
be easy to produce.
Yeah.
Replays, all of that's going to be
there.
It's
all kind of built into the game already anyway.
Yeah,
you know, you score a goal and... They show you a full replay right at the end of each goal regardless. And
so I think that NBC picked a really good game to try to start in esports. I think it's a very popular game. Everybody's played it. It was free when it first came out on PlayStation, if you had PlayStation Network. That's where a lot of people
started it. That's right.
Yeah, that's
for the first
where
time.
I played it for the first time, then bought it on PC. And then I think it's a good game to start. I really wish they didn't mess with the format, though. I think it's really odd that you have a proper league and a proper pro scene where you could have showcased these teams. You could have had a chance, and I bet you the organizations are upset because now some of these pros are going to have to decide to play in this, which it's not a league by any means. It's just
a one-off tournament.
It's a one-off tournament for NBC Sports. So, this could be a showcase.
They
should have
done the traditional format, though. It's like Counter-Strike, the 2v2, HTC. That's nice as a one-off, I guess.
But
like,
you're not
like going to
put that on
But
TV.
Rocket League's first opportunity to be on television
That's
should be
saying.
Displayed the way the competitive scene
the
is done.
First impressions matter.
Yep.
And for your first impression, show off your best. Do not force pros to play a 2v2 where they don't play, or you just showcase your best.
Yep.
First impressions matter. And I feel like this is an improper first impression for people getting or wanting to get into it.
I would love to see this game go into VR. I think this is a game that's already built to be shown and like played in VR. Me and
Talk about motion sickness though?
Well, no. So me and one of my friends, Kamara, we both have our Oculus headsets, and we've played the normal game in VR. Now, obviously, it doesn't have the head movement, but just to see it on that kind of that wide theater type screen was really neat. I think it'd be a cool game to go into that to that world. You would probably get a little motion sickness moving around.
Probably.
I think
but it'd be
cool
as a spectator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about
it
VR as a spectator.
This.
It'd look like you're... If they put it in the perspective, like you're at a stadium watching it, like from the side angle. Like
it would look neat.
That would look pretty dope. Yeah. So that, again, when does it... I mean, on NBC, it is August 26th and the 27th. So I'm assuming that's semifinals and finals?
Yep.
Two nights?
Yeah, that's
on what NBC. Like. So we will obviously keep an eye on that. I think, like I said, I mean, even when, like, the... Is it CW?
Yeah, CW did the H1Z1.
CW, yeah.
CW did H1Z1.
They did H1Z1, and they've done Mortal Kombat. Even as bad as that production was, it's esports on TV. I'm not going to tell you not to try it.
Rip H1Z1.
Right, yeah. Well, there's still somebody out there playing it, I guess. Let's, though, get into a little bit of e-news here. It's our weekly segment here where we talk about... headline news, maybe that we didn't really have full time to get into or just didn't warrant a full-blown discussion. Oh, man, hold up. I think I forgot to put in... This must be like last week's e-news here because it says Peacemaker
this is
coaching.
New. Yeah, so... Oh,
yeah.
I got you.
You got it?
I see what you did there. I see what
Peacemaker is a coach again, apparently. Ty Lue for all teams.
Yeah, he's kicked four of the players and he's added four Brazilians already.
Just instantly?
Instantly.
Like, you know, I know Moses made a video on it and he likes the roster move, or, you know, at least is interested in it, thinking that the discipline that he can bring to the roster and everything will make the difference. The last I read, he is on loan.
Not a permanent move.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet
he could bring it'll be yet. Nice for maybe the Asian scene to see the way the game is played, I guess you could say, maybe properly. I mean, I say properly, they're just newer to the game, right? So
shots
maybe
fired at Asia,
you know, but you know what I mean, like, well, it's still relatively fresh there, and so, you know, he could bring maybe a different perspective maybe that some, they don't have,
maybe it's they just, can bring some Asian persuasion.
Yeah, it could, you know, it could work both ways. I'm a little just surprised that it's Peacemaker. I mean, I feel like we've seen this act four or five times now. So, hey, I mean,
only time will tell where that one will go. But we will get to see him in action this weekend. I assume he's going to be there for the major qualifier, the offline event, where. Basically, this is finally this weekend. After this weekend, we will officially know all 16 teams that will be at the PGL Major in Katowice. We have, if you can hear that noise, we're at the house and a truck just went by. But, also, fun fact, while we're on weird noises you might ever hear in the background while we're recording at my house, I live right next to a jet field. So if it ever sounds like there's a civil war going on in the background... That's just a fighter jet.
Shows you how rich Tim is. No, boy, he's living right next to his private... he's got his own
jet. It's just really convenient when I got to fly to places just to hop on my jet. No, so, I mean, looking here at the qualifier, there's a lot of good teams. Now, there's 16 teams playing. 8 of them are going to make it. 8 will be disappointed.
This is going to be tough.
A lot of good teams that are not going to be at the major.
Yeah, and this is not even counting a team like NIP not even being in the major
exactly,
qualifier, right?
Right.
This so is already, that could have been like one more to add to the mix. You know, first round matchups are coming up, and just to name a couple of the big ones, if you want to keep your eyes out for them, you have G2 and Immortals that'll be playing a game. You got Liquid and Ty Lue. I think that could be interesting.
I believe this is what, Swiss format?
Swiss format, yep. And then you got C9 playing Big, and Big just came off of, both of these teams actually just came off of winning the minor qualifier.
Big is actually my sleeper pick.
They're very good.
If they're even a sleeper pick.
Yeah, Tabson is incredible.
They have been playing really well. They're making German counter. They're giving Mouse Sports a run for their money when it comes to German.
And both of them are in the major qualifier. So you actually have Mouse and both Big. Getting a chance to get both of them in or show superiority and only one of them making it in. But yeah, fun to keep an eye on. Even the major qualifier will be something to watch.
Penta, that's kind of a wild card on when they want to perform. I mean, they knocked out VP, so they have that, you know,
and they also should have technically been in the ESL Pro League, but because of that. And then, yeah, they play Optic, so Optic will already have a tough game to start off with. So, and again, you know, a team like Vega. Vega is the one that knocked out NiP, and they're going to be playing Hellraisers, and just a lot of good games.
Now, this is to make... Flips. Yeah, Flipside, that's been a team
Flipside, NRG, where RNG, they been at? Renegades.
Where have they been at? Now, this, looking here, we have Liquid, Optic Gaming, Renegades, and Cloud9.
Immortals.
Well, no, they don't count, though. Because you also have SK's already in it, and we're not counting those. As true North American teams, Liquid, Optic Gaming, Cloud9, and Renegades. Team Dignitas, they don't count, even though they're owned by American. That is not an American roster. This could be the first major in the history of Counter-Strike to not have an actual American team.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, as it is a real possibility that could happen. I mean,
but when you think of eight teams, surely
someone's going to make it,
one of those,
right?
Will be top eight. I mean, I know I said that about the last major where Cloud9 didn't get top eight, and it was like, come on. How bad do you have to be not to get top eight?
There's a good chance that we don't see more than one North American team. I think it's kind of fair to say there's a good chance that could happen.
That is very true.
Our best chances, I feel, would be Liquid and C9 at this point.
Knowing our luck, it's going to come down to where it's
them playing each other for the last spot.
Liquid and Cloud9. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the qualifier, Cloud9 and Liquid are definitely top eight in that 16-team lineup, I think. So,
well, there's 12 teams, in my opinion, just going through it that have a chance to make it out of the 16. And
I mean, some teams that I'm not even going to give the time of day. Tengri, is that how you say that name?
Yeah, Tengri.
Vega and Flipside. Those three teams, instantly, you can probably toss away.
Yeah. I mean, Vega played well. When they were playing well, they also beat VP, so...
Who shown, hasn't beat VP?
Well, but they beat NiP and VP. At least they have two big names under their belt. So, again, I think everybody's got a chance, but 12 out of 16 kind of stand out over the rest of the group. And so
we'll see that. We'll talk about that, like I said, next week. Not full detail because we're going to talk a lot about it when we do our live show. But
yeah, next week we'll be diving into actual ESL 1. We'll be kicking off.
This is true. Yeah, ESL 1. We'll preview that next week as well. In Overwatch, the World Cup teams and rosters and groups have been announced. Some of the big groups here: Group A, Hong Kong, China, number one, Norway, and Romania. I wasn't being funny there. China is viewed as the number one seed for this tournament. Group E, you have South Korea, defending champions. Netherlands, Poland, and Austria.
And North Korea.
And sure, if they want to sneak in there. And Group G has USA, Taiwan, Brazil, and New Zealand. That is going to be August 11th to the 13th. I will probably wait to care about this until it gets after group stage, if we're being honest. Considering Group A, it all starts the weekend of CSGO Major. So I'll be very distracted with the major going on that week. If it was anything like last year's World Cup games, they really weren't that exciting.
Who are the top rated teams, like besides China? Who should people keep an eye on?
Yeah, South Korea, keep an eye on. You have USA. Germany won't have that bad of a showing. Same thing with France. I think they'll probably show up, but the issue is the one thing that just takes me out of caring is with it all being fan voted. It drives me insane.
Is this, I know y'all mentioned last time around when this happened, you saw streamers and all that on these teams. How is it this year compared to last? I mean, are we seeing kind of that same trend going into this tournament?
You know, to be honest, I really haven't even paid too much attention to even give you an honest answer because last year's was just so not interesting.
Yeah.
It's turned me off from even caring about the World Cup.
Any reason why they just wouldn't take the best five from each country? Or
it's Blizzard.
Just
fan interaction, yeah.
So... You do know that there are at least 75,000 people
That is straight from Blizzard's mouth.
That is straight from their mouth. 75,000 could be pro.
Also, the main guy, I'm blanking on the name, but the CEO of the Overwatch League, or the commissioner would be the correct name for him, came out with a statement basically that they are taking surveys from like the top players in Overwatch and basically trying to gain interest to see who will want to be part of the Overwatch League. They made that statement to keep the fans involved with all at the same time, basically leaving you at the end, so we're still not... We're getting closer, but still not there.
It doesn't even sound like it's that close, though. Like, if you're asking, like, who's interested, that means you don't have teams set. There's no type of, like, league format maybe set up at this point. Like, we're beating a dead horse on this every single week.
Just, I mean, it's one of those, just call us when it's ready.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really so disinterested at this point that, kind of like I mentioned to you, I'll only care when it's finally here. Until then, I have no interest in keeping up with the pro scene. I don't really know who to follow. I haven't learned much about the players. Obviously, you hear about Seagull and different players like this, but really just so disinterested until they're organized and seem interested.
Big move in Call of Duty, which we don't talk about a whole lot on the show, mainly at the fault of MLG, but FaZe Clan trades Clayster to E United for Gunless. As far as to put some weight on this, this FaZe was the longest standing roster. I mean, when you thought professional Call of Duty, you thought Optic Gaming and FaZe. Like, that's, in my opinion, well, for sure, that's where Optic Gaming got their start, was in Call of Duty. But FaZe, when I, like I said, when I think of FaZe, I think of,
like, trick shots and stuff. That's what those Call guys of Duty did, team, you know?
Right. And this was the longest standing roster. That FaZe roster has been together for 2 years.
It's a long time in esports.
In esports, it's a lifetime.
And you're talking about one of the, like you said, the most well put together teams, like you said, 2 years together, and United on the other end being one of the new teams with a bunch of rookie and younger players. I had mentioned this to you earlier, Tim, but FaZe essentially traded their in-game leader for more of an up-and-coming, what they would consider star in the sport, and being Gunless. Both teams had an opportunity to perform with their new teams in this last tournament, and both went to the semifinals. So, you know, a good first showing, I would think, for making such a big roster move.
Did Gunless play?
As far as what I read, I thought they...
Is that what you read? I thought they didn't play.
Yeah, I think Clayster... I think Clayster maybe played, but I don't think Gunless played.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Gunless benched himself.
Okay, yeah. So for Clayster being on United, them in their first appearance, they made the semis. So both are, I'm sure, getting prepped and ready for, what is it, CWL?
They kind of always rotate that around for their league here.
Yeah, both are already qualified, so that'll be interesting to see how they perform in that with the new changes.
The New York Mets... Their ownership decides to invest into the new future of esports, as they like to say on their Twitter, Wrecked Global.
What that games are they involved in?
The worst name ever. R-E, capital R, lowercase e, capital K, capital T,
oh God,
Global.
No.
Wrecked Global.
What sports are they involved in?
It's not...
I'm talking about the Mets. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not like a it's not like a esports organization. It's supposed to be like bringing the community together with whatever. They're like fresh, brand new, but they have big people behind it, and the Mets are getting invested. It's getting primed to be like a...
So they're going to be a team, or they'll be like a social hub for esports?
Well, let me pull it. No, they're not a team. They're not a team. Global Twitter.
We have done our homework before the show, boys and girls.
They are... No, it's just got to read the thing. It's esports infrastructure company building the future of esports. That's how they sell themselves. It is Wrecked Global.
A recently launched multifaceted advisory business in the esports and gaming world. Interesting.
Listen, I don't care who you are. If you call yourself Wrecked... With a KT, I'm out. I'm out.
You're not taking
it. Maybe we should capitalize some letters and get a sponsorship that way.
That's why we're not popular enough, is because we properly spell and capitalize our show name.
Let's capitalize all of our R's.
Just you could. There's a lot of them in there. If we just spelt the name wrong, we'd be a lot more popular in esports.
I think so.
But that's my fault.
Well, hey, good for them.
And I think that just about does it. We'll only have to see where that wrecked esports goes. I know it is getting a lot of criticism on the internet. Rightfully so. I mean, when you call yourself wrecked global, what do you expect? But that does it for episode 64 of The Center Ring, properly spelled TCR for short, which you can go to our website, tcr.gg. Also follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, fully spelled out. Let us know what you think of the show. Did the audio sound okay? Like I said, it's only our second time doing it in-home. I feel like it sounds better than what it did last time.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, at least for right now. Yeah, I'll ask my wife.
We'll ask the our post-production experts, a.k.a. our wives, on how it sounds. But you are also our experts, the listener. So let us know. You can also hit us up on our website. There's a little contact us now there. Whatever. Give us show ideas, questions. We want questions for our live show. Again, that's July 13th on the ticket. We'll pimp it out more, though, as we get closer to.
I'm
going to
plug it about 100 times before the show. Don't worry, guys.
Nothing wrong with that. We will be back next week, though. We will be previewing ESL 1 Cologne. We will be knowing who's in the major, at least. So we will bring that up. And anything else that happens in the world of esports between now and then, thank you so much again for listening. And we'll see you next time.